Very good. Welcome to the Fred Report call for June 27th, 2019, week before the 4th of July, which is next week. Since the 4th of July falls on a Thursday, and since a lot of people are going to be away, we will not do a conference call or publish a chart book next week unless there is, you know, major developments in the market, in which case, obviously, we'll do something. But we've had a number of people say they were going to be away, and we'll put that in the weekly for everybody as well. Very good. Okay. We're in an interesting position here. The S&P is still involved in its summer rally to us. The stochastics have come down a little bit. We're still looking for a move up into the first part of August, late July, early August. We've got a daily stochastic on the SPY that is down, but the market is turning up, and so is that. And also IJR is, which gave us the buy signal on the last bottom, is just below 20 and should recycle to the upside here as well. And so it's giving another buy signal. The real question, of course, and that begs the question, we're sort of keying off IJR and IYT for signals because the spider and Qs aren't falling as much. But those are also weak indexes. We'd really like to see them pick up. Our long-term trend system remains a Desmond with two up and two down. We may get some change in that over the summer, just as we did in the election year, prior to the election year of 2015. We've mentioned, but we'll mention again, of our four indexes, the we have four indexes we use for our major trend system: the NASDAQ Composite, the S&P 500, small cap, as in the guise of IJR, and IYT, the transports. We have two negative; those are small cap and transports. Those were the ones that went negative first in 2015. By November, all had gone negative. So it's interesting that this is an election year, a run-up to an election year, and that was a run-up to an election year, and we're in the same position on those indexes. So, you know, we're sort of monitoring our stuff. We still are long. We still think the market can rally into July. We have hit the bottom end of our target range at 294. No changes, certainly nothing big to worry about, but just be a little bit on your guard, especially if you're in some small-cap stocks and transportation stocks that are not trading well. In terms of the bond market, TLT still can hit 135 or so. It has come close, but no cigar. After that, we are expecting rates to actually move up a little bit. The accumulation model on TLT still suggests stability, not a giant rally, but stability from here. And so we would expect to see stability there. Gold is interesting and a key area for us. The accumulation models do not support gold much beyond the 135.50 it hit on GLD on my charts on the 25th of June at 135.55. It's trading in that resistance. We do have a daily sell signal starting. We would not be at all surprised to see that gap around 127 fill. But GLD is certainly trading a little bit better than we thought it would this year, and we like GDX and GDXJ and all of those as well. They're trading up and, again, also generating some selling indications, but they certainly don't look like a major disaster is coming. It looks actually sort of quiet, to be honest with you, pretty much in all these markets. The one interesting thing is UUP, the dollar index, has had a nice little pullback. The daily stochastic is recycled. It's held basically support in the 2590 to 2600 to 2590 to 26 area. And GLD could make another run later this summer. We note that the weekly stochastic is coming down as this goes sideways. That's a bullish pattern, but it also means the dollar should be relatively quiescent from here. I can tell you that the dollar will probably move up sharply and the euro down after July 25th, because that's when Jody, my stepson, returns from Europe, where he's spending euro. So, yeah, let's just bear that as it may. There's really nothing surprising in any other markets. We're looking at corn, for example. It's had a rally. It's sort of trading sideways. We think we're going to see, as I say, a little bit more upside in stocks, possibly to 302 or so, the top end of our range, on the spider by, say, the third week in July, and then we're going to be a little bit careful. But there's really – I'm sorry there's just not a lot going on. We're sort of waiting on news and all sorts of other things, I guess. Let me pass the call over to Jeff Garbaz. Jeff is not at his desk today. He's out in the field. So hopefully we'll get Jeff, and if he fades in and out, we apologize. Jeff?
Hey, Fred. How are you?
I'm fine. How's it going on your trip?
Good, good. I'm sounding okay?
Good. You sound good. A little muted, but that's okay.
Okay, great. So here's my first question for you. When we look at the Russell, we talked about this again last week, still struggling, but it's had a nice kind of pop today. Could we, for the near term, have a low in the Russell right here and then head up now through July into August? Because the Russell has lagged so badly.
That looks
a good level.
We're hoping that that does show positive relative strength, Jeff. And we do have a buy signal on the weekly and daily IWM right now. So that there's every chance for some outperformance here over the next few weeks. Let's see how it goes. But, yeah, that's an area I'm looking at.
Okay. Here's my my second question for you is if we look at the S&P 500, roughly about 12% of the stocks are really outperforming the S&P by just looking at simple relative strength. We know that that can go on for a long time and end up in a bad situation, or it can actually improve and play out further. So historically, what do you think the chances are that things can improve and then we just break out and we go beyond just that July period?
You know, what I'm looking at to judge that is RSP, the unweighted S&P, and it looks well enough that that certainly could occur. The stochastic on RSP is a little tiny bit weaker, but not that much weaker than the stochastic on SPY. So, yeah, I mean, that's why we are holding stocks and being bullish through the summer rally period. What would concern us again here is if we were to see the weekly stochastics on RSP and SPY give another selling indication at the end of in 3-4 weeks, we would probably be a little bit more careful at that time, and that looks like what the indicators are going to do. But being careful does not mean liquidation. It just means being careful.
Right. So in the S&P 500, it's interesting, through Tuesday, it was up 17.70%. And I went and looked at how many stocks in the S&P 500 were actually beating the S&P 500, and it was 255, which I was actually surprised at. I thought that was kind of a pretty good number, that more than half the stocks were up more than the S&P. I know it's anecdotal, but any thoughts on that? Is that, like, to you, when you hear that, is that a pretty decent number?
That's a pretty decent number, given all the concern about the narrowness of the market. That's actually a better number than I would have thought of. I'm glad you did that analysis. At any given time, you don't have every stock performing in line with the S&P. And again, Jeff, I'm coming back to RSP. If that were doing appreciably worse, we would be concerned. But it's also come down and basically held the same sort of short-term support that SPY has come down and held. The charts are very similar. So, we're fairly optimistic here. I certainly, I've been reading all sorts of stuff about how we have an imminent bear market and we're in a recession and all this other stuff. And all I can say is that the market really isn't saying that to me. I'll tell you that.
Okay. Last question for you is, yesterday Micron had a better earnings report than people thought, and the guidance is also okay. Semiconductors have been hit pretty hard here. So thoughts on semis looking at SMH, and then thoughts on MU here as well. And especially if, we get some type of settlement truce right now with China, and it looks like we can let U.S. tech companies work with Chinese tech companies. Would you be in favor of going into semis, say, over software, because they've had such a period of dramatic underperformance here? And then again, remember to look at Micron and SMH.
Yeah, I'm looking at SMH, and it does look like it can do a little bit better and, say, test, 115, 116, and Micron still looks up. That stock has resistance at 40, which is a good bit away. I'm going to just take a quick look. Intel, which has come down, is sort of the Mac Daddy there, and it's even slowly trending up. It looks worse than Micron. I'm sure there's better companies in semis than Intel. But, those are all looking like that's a decent place to put some money as a try here and see how it goes.
Okay, last comment for you is GLD, if it can't get through 135, looking at the weekly chart, to me it looks like that's kind of a near-term top. Would you agree with that?
I do agree with that. What I want to see here is what happens when the daily stochastic recycles, and I'd want to see that hold 127. Jeff, when you look at the long-term base on the monthly GLD going back to 2014, that's an appealing chart, but it's also still within the base. And I have tried as a technician to come up with something that will tell you exactly when something's going to come out of the base. I have not succeeded. I don't think anyone has.
Okay, so kind of like the last part of that question is going to SLV. You always talk about when gold gets near its end, silver starts to outperform dramatically. And it really isn't outperforming dramatically here. So from here on, with like a tight stop, wouldn't you think about playing silver potentially versus gold?
No, I'd still want to play gold. The fact that silver is not suddenly embarking on a period of outperformance suggests that the movement that's going to occur here is going to be led by gold. Right? Whereas gold should show relative strength on the downside. Gold should show relative strength on the upside.
Okay. So with that, I'm done.
Cool. You guys drive safely and good luck. We'll take questions from the field. Jeff will be on sort of listening. If you have questions for him, I suggest asking Jeff Garbaugh's questions right now, though, because we know Jeff is actually able to talk to us. Jeff, let's see if anyone does. Remember, hit star 6 to unmute your phone to do this.
Hey, Fred, John Sard.
John, how are you?
Hey, good. Can you check MPC, Marathon Oil?
Yes. Jonathan, that one has consistently done worse than most of the other oils, so I'm a little bit leery of it. But within the context of being leery, I think it can get to 58.
Okay, yeah, I've got a client with some pretty sizable unrealized cap gains in there, and he was debating on when to sell. So,
Jonathan, try to sell some at 58. I'm glad you asked about oil, because I do want to say one thing, and Jeff, if he's still available, is free to chime in on this. Oil is rallying per the seasonals, but I have to say the rally is somewhat muted given the Iranian tensions. I thought oil was going to do better here. And what that tells me, and I'd appreciate any commentary from you, Jonathan, or Jeff, that when the seasonal period is over end of July, that oil's at risk of coming right back down. So you're right, Jonathan. You want to sell some of this if we can get it to 57 to 58 by the second week, third week of July, because that means it'd be a great opportunity, and then the stock goes down and makes new lows.
Okay. Appreciate it.
Certainly. Have a good day.
Fred?
Yes, sir.
Fred?
Yes.
Patterson, PDCO. Would you still buy that at 23? I must not got in, huh?
Yeah, I could think about it. The question is, how much do you want to get out of it? The reason I say that is you've got the lower end of a gap at 28.77, 28.29. For me, buying something at 23.40 and selling it at 27.28 would be something I would want to do, especially if it looks like, you know, the stock's going to roll over, then I'd give that some consideration. But for you, that might not be enough. But I think it's okay. And frankly, it's trading down on what looks like news, but it's actually trading pretty well today. I want to see that close above the open and ideally close on the high of the day. But it's trading well enough that if you want to try for 27.28 on this, you certainly could.
Thank you. The earnings came out and they were bad.
Yeah. And, you know, obviously we would use, if you were trying to trade this, today's low as a stop loss. It sounds like we got someone on. There we go. Someone muted. Other questions?
Brad, can you take a look at OKTA, please?
Yes. Nancy, I will happily do that.
And my friend, my new friend Keith in Palm Beach Garden says hello.
Good. Give Keith my very, very best. I'm glad you guys have connected. You know, this has come right down to support. You've got a daily stochastic that looks poised to turn up. I certainly wouldn't sell this here. I would. Especially, Nancy, knowing you, this is viable for you.
Right.
And you want to make sure that you want to see the daily stochastic turn up and this hold 120, but that's decent risk.
Okay, thank you.
Sure. Other questions? Other questions?
Fred, talk about momentum stocks.
You know, let's take a quick look at MTUM, which is still trading okay, but it's gone into a consolidation. Michael, maybe I'll take a look at growth versus value again this weekend. I keep thinking that that relationship is going to change, and it keeps not changing. I do think, you know, you have to stay with some of these momentum stocks for now, but I would take a look at my risk management and stop losses. A lot of the stop losses, I know when I was looking at the chart book last night, Michael, some of the stop losses I had on a couple of the momentum stocks that had moved were pretty low relative to where they are now. In other words, I hadn't revised them up in the chart book. You're probably going to want to look and, you know, move some of those up. The other thing that I have noticed on another momentum stock, which is one we've recommended, IIPR is still in decent shape, but it does have a daily stochastic sell signal, and you do have, you know, finally a fairly violent consolidation. I think it was Scott on the call the other day. Scott, if you were Scott and you wanted to sell some of the stock here at 121, 122, you're selling at 8 points off the highs, and it's probably going to be sideways for a bit longer. It still is a decent chart for investors, but if you were really looking to get out, it looks like this one's paused. Michael, do you have any stocks in particular you're concerned with?
They're not coming to mind right off. I would say like a couple of them. Team, T-E-A-M, Veev, V-E-E-V, two V's, two E's, yeah. Now, Data, that kind of stuff.
Yeah, these all look like they're going into consolidations. And, Michael, that's healthy. That's, you know, whoever said trees don't grow to the sky probably wasn't even a Wall Streeter, but certainly gave us a good remark. You know, these, when I look at Team, for example, it's had periods of consolidation and then another advance and then a period of consolidation. I think the Team at least looks good. Veev looks like it's starting to go into a consolidation. You know, I think you're going to see that with a lot of these. I think that's healthy.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Sure. Other questions?
Hey, Fred, it's John from Minneapolis.
Hey, how are
Fred?
You? John in Minneapolis.
Good, good. I was checking. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, sorry, I might have cut out. I'm looking at NVDA, NVIDIA, and I don't know if you lump those in with Now and Veev and stuff, but what does that chart look like?
You know, it looks like a double bottom, and it looks like a range of between 130 and 200. It has held enough. We've been, as I'm sure you'll remember, sort of shying away from that stock because we thought it was one of last year's darlings. But you've got a weekly stochastic buy signal in support here. If you've got a pressing desire to own NVDA, I think you can own it now. I think you can start buying it now. The only thing I would say is it wouldn't surprise me to see it go, you know, to 190 or so and then pull back. I don't think it's going to go straight to 275 without stopping.
Yeah, I bought it at 130, and I'm holding it now, and I feel like I should have gotten out when it hit 180, and I didn't. And
I think you're going to have another chance. This looks like it's going to build a base down here, which, again, is normal. What I would be watching for is the weekly stochastic getting close to 80 and some faltering. But what you've got with this weekly stochastic buy was you did get a nice move up in the daily stochastic, which is not a great pattern, but which did get over 80, which shows momentum. What you really, this again is a small stochastic lesson, what you really worry about is a weekly stochastic buy where the daily doesn't make it over 80. And this has been under 80 really since April. So the fact that it's over that suggests that you could get 176, say, to 180. And, John, if you really want to be super careful and it makes it to 174 to 176, that would be a place to start taking it off.
Got it.
And
great.
I have a friend of yours
great.
Down
Thanks,
here,
Fred.
By the way. John, you know Craig Johnson over at Piper?
No, I don't, no.
He's their head technician. He's a good friend. He just came down and made a presentation, and I know he's well-known in that area. I thought you might know him. Good guy if you were.
Sure, yeah, no. Thanks. Thanks, Fred.
Okay. Certainly. Have a good day. Other questions? Very well.
Fred, a couple of stocks, if you don't mind.
Not at all. Steve.
Thanks. Facebook, FB.
I'm going to look at the intermediate term. You've got a slight daily sell at resistance. And, you know, this looks like it's, again, trying to build a consolidation, say, between 200, 170 or so. It's not a bad chart, and I would certainly hold it. But if it didn't break out above 200, I wouldn't be surprised.
Okay. Apple?
Again, a decent pattern, but it looks like a consolidation between, say, 170 and 210 or so, and it's right in the middle. You do have a weekly stochastic buy, so if it's going to do something, it's probably going to do it now. So for me, it's a hold or an aggressive buy if you want.
Okay, and last one is XBI.
You know, I keep thinking that the biotechs are going to do better, and you do finally have a weekly stochastic buy on this, suggesting that it's time to buy it. You know, the politics and all that, I'll put it this way. The whole sideways movement from January, February, March 2019, what that served to do was bring that weekly stochastic back down into buy territory. So if you've got some names in there or you want to try XBI, I think it's okay.
Great. Thanks a lot. Appreciate it, Fred.
Got it. Have a good morning.
You too.
Other questions? Very well. Going once. Going twice.
Fred.
Yes, sir.
Fred. Any thoughts on Deutsche Bank at this particular point in time?
Well, you know, they did the bad bank, and it didn't completely annihilate the stock. And it was met with sort of a ho-hum. So that's saying that Europe is probably a little bit less of a concern, but there's big resistance at 8. I want to see how it handles that. But it's definitely trading better, and that's a good thing.
Thanks, sir.
Good enough. Other questions? That was a good one. I'd forgotten about that. Other questions? Going once? Going twice? Very well. This will end the Fed Report technical market call for June 27th, 2019. We'll see everybody in a couple of weeks. As I said, we will not do a call on the 4th of July. We'll do a recording if the market goes wubba, wubba, wubba. But otherwise, have a great, safe 4th of July weekend. And we'll talk to everybody in a week or so after that.